presents Heart of the Matter. This is a weekly community affairs program produced by WIEL.
This is Heart of the Matter. I'm Ron Boone, a native of Sonora with relatives in Elizabethtown. Carl Brashear, who now lives in Virginia Beach, is the subject of a hit movie now playing across the nation, Men of Honor, which probably should have been called Navy Diver, because he overcame tremendous hurdles to become the U.S. Navy's first black deep-sea diver and later first amputee deep-sea diver. He was in town to see his relatives this week and also to be honored at a reception Saturday evening. He was gracious enough to allow me and Brian Walker to interview him Friday afternoon.
Yes, I have relatives here, live here in Elizabethtown, and it's a pleasure to be here talking to you, Ron and Brian. I think, if I remember correctly,
right,
you know, I'm getting a little old now, so I have to, you know, check my memory from time to time. Most of my relatives live here. My sisters, I have three that lives in Elizabethtown, and I also have two brothers, and just a whole bunch of nieces and nephews.
And so you're getting to see them, and how often do you get back over this way?
Well, I get back from time to time. This is the first time I have returned since June of this year. I've been sort of tied up with 20th Century Fox from city to city and one trip to Asia promoting the movie. So therefore, I didn't get back until right at this time.
I'm going to bring Brian in here to talk about some of the movie things, because this is something he has a keen interest in. He's one of those who reviews movies in the local newspaper. But before we get into the movie and talk about all of that and how it was made and how it's doing since it's been in the theaters and all of that, give us a time reference. How many years did you actually live in the Sonora or the Elizabethtown area when you were growing up?
I lived in the Sonora area on a farm from about 5 weeks old until age 17, when I joined the United States Navy in 1948. But I never lived in Elizabethtown.
Okay. All right. I was thinking that you moved to E-Town at one point, but you lived in Sonora the whole time. And some of the people that you remember from the Sonora area, are there any names that come to mind?
Well, I have a cousin that still lives in Sonora, Wardeen, and Esther Stewart, his wife, they still live there. I have a cousin also that he has a store there, Paul Stewart, and I think that's the only relatives I have in Sonora.
I was thinking in advance of your agreeing to do this interview, which we appreciate, that Sonora, as we know it here today, is not the same community that you remember, because, of course, the railroad goes through there, and the railroad was important when you were growing up.
Yeah, it was very important, but the population there has diminished quite a bit since I left. But I enjoyed living in Sonora, and I have a lot of, you know, friends down in that area. Yet, Bill Sullivan and I, we used to hang around together and work on a farm together for this guy named Richardson, and Sonora was okay, although I, you know, was segregated, but I have a lot of friends down there.
Well, you talk about that. You're a very honest fellow. I've talked with you before, and I know in making the movie you were just real honest about things, and you didn't back away from subjects that some people don't like to talk about, which is segregation and so on. But talk a little bit about that.
Well, Sonora in particular, I went to a one-room segregated schoolhouse, completing only the seventh grade, and we didn't have any faculty or any sort of, you know, educational expertise that the white school had, which was across the railroad track. But, you know, I had that one-room schoolhouse, one teacher, taught from the first to the eighth grade. We had a pot-belly stove, and we had some hand-me-down books that sometimes you would turn a page and the page would be missing. But we got along, and So that was the way of life back in those days. We had to accept it.
And sharecropper is a term that a lot of modern people don't identify with. Tell us what that term means.
Sharecropper means that he farms for the owner of the farm, and he gets a percentage of some of the crops that he may raise. Plus, he gets a little, two or three head of livestock from time to time, and he can grow his own gardens and put out his own vegetable patches or whatever you call them. And that's what a sharecropper basically is. He farms the landowner's property for a percentage of the crops.
Well, when you left here at age, what was it, 17, 18?
17.
17. People around here that knew you, or maybe even some of your family, said, well, he'll probably do okay. Probably very few people, other than maybe yourself and a few that really know you, would have believed that all the things that you accomplished after you left here. And obviously, you have a strong determination. You're not easily... you don't give up easily when you're confronted with things. And did you pick up some of that around the home place? I mean, you had to pick that up before you left Hardin County.
Well, yes, I picked a lot of that up before I left Hardin County, because my father and mother, they were very, very strong people. My father had that can-do spirit, and he maintained a good attitude all the time. And, you know, I never did hear him say that, I can't. And so I sort of... He raised that cane for my little vocabulary a long time ago. And my mother, she was a very strong individual. So a lot of that inner strength that I carried in the Navy with me, I got it from them.
I'm sure, and I'm going to let Brian's being real patient here, I'm going to let him in on this, but I'm sure our listeners know that what you started moving toward is becoming the first, and you help me out if I get any of this wrong, the first black deep sea diver in the U.S. Navy. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so you were moving towards that, but you didn't get that immediately when you went into the Navy.
No, not immediately, because I didn't know what a deep sea diver was immediately going into the Navy. So one day I saw a diver working in the water retrieving a crashed aircraft, and I... And Ron, that changed my life forever. I saw the dive and I said, my God, that's the best thing since sliced bread. So,
Brian, at this point, let Brian come in right here, and let's try to separate what was up on the big screen. Sometimes I know you were involved with developing the screenplay and everything, but what's Hollywood and what really happened?
And I certainly enjoy someone asking me questions after they have seen the movie.
Well, and that brings up a very good point. The man that played Master Chief Billy Sunday, Robert De Niro, in the movie, in reality, from what I understand and the things I've read, that's really sort of based on a couple of gentlemen that were in your Navy career that were around. Obviously, for 2 hours worth of movie, trying to tell a 20-year story, you can't introduce a bunch of characters. And was that why they consolidated that character?
I'm going to make that correction now. Trying to consolidate a 31-year story.
Well, there you go. That's right. Sorry about that.
Billy Sunday was a composite of two people, but that I met along in my naval career. But he was a down-to-earth, hard-charging Master Chief Petty Officer and a very good instructor.
You absolutely have to be one of the most biggest inspirations to me. I left the movie, I literally turned to my girlfriend and I said, Donna, I feel like I've wasted my life. You know, I have never had to overcome anything. The worst thing I ever had to do was get out of bed and go to work. You know, I've never had to fight for something. I've never had to be you know, given the chance to prove myself to anything. And you see inspirational films throughout your life, but you, sir, absolutely, just through your own dogged determination and through your own intelligence and physical ability, literally carved out a place for yourself in the Navy and in history. No one gave that to you.
Well, that's true. No one gave it to me. And I was determined that when I entered the diving school, they was not going to break my spirits. they were not going to sabotage any project that I had to do. But you remember that I was in the Navy prior to President Truman desegregating the armed forces. And a lot of the avenues weren't open to blacks during those days. And I managed to get into the diving school as no other black had ever been. And it was difficult, but at the same token, you got to have some thick skin to be a deep sea diver, you know. It's not an easy school for anyone to get through. But I had that added harassment, the added stress, we might say, for being black.
Now, there were scenes, obviously, in the diving school portion of the film where you were, I guess, harassed, picked upon, treated bad, put down, abused in every sort of form. The scene that right away when you first got there, Billy Sunday basically not wanting you to come into the grounds, not wanting you to enter the diving school, did that actually happen, or did it happen similar to that?
That actually happened. They didn't want me there to dive in school because I say no black had ever been there before. And then you can look at it a different way. If they didn't want me there, they wanted to break my spirits where I would quit, where I would give up. But see, I had other ideas. I was going to make it regardless.
Which I guess in some way would have made them look justified, that they had given you the chance and you quit. Well, you know, in their minds anyway.
Sure, they would have won. But see, I wanted to be the winner. And the harassment and the little notes I found on my bunk, "We're going to drown you today, nigger," that that didn't bother me.
That those notes, as you pointed out, were left on your bunk, and that truly did happen. I mean, again, I've never had to face any kind of discrimination like that. I literally would have been scared to death. Did you ever really believe that that would have happened? Did you honestly, for your even a moment, assume that that could happen?
No, I did not. That didn't cross my mind that some individual would do something to me while I was on the bottom, like do something to my air or not bring me up when I was supposed to come up. I knew they would try to. I knew they would lose my tools and try to sabotage my projects. But no fear whatsoever in my mind that they were going to do anything else.
That's very brave of you. It really is. You mentioned the losing the tools. Now, from my understanding, in the film, they show you completing the last portion of your diving school, completing that flange. Of course, Cuba Gooding Jr. playing you in the film. From my understanding, that actually happened more than once, the so-called loss of your tools, the accidental loss of them, as they tried to make it look.
Yes, the accidental loss happened over a four-week period. We were diving off of the pierhead, and we got to the final exams, and it continued to happen. Now, I want to remind you, they wouldn't flunk me if I couldn't find all of my tools, because they knew what they were doing to me. But I wouldn't come up. I wouldn't quit. So therefore, they couldn't flunk me. I would get some type of a mark, a passing mark, because if I had a welding job to do, I couldn't find my welding rods. They're harder to find in a wrench. But I wouldn't come up, I'd stay. See?
That's amazing. Now, you spent literally sometimes hours in the water, and what were we talking about temperatures here?
Well, it was cold there in East River and right off of Bayonne, New Jersey. Very cold because I went through in the wintertime, but if you was wrapped up good with your watch cap pulled down over your head, you could withstand a lot of pressure if you kept busy and moving around.
I'm in awe. I'm kind of starstruck here. The movie is just incredible. For those of you that haven't seen it, please do. Is there anything in there that you just feel is an out-and-out Hollywood fabrication and you maybe have a disagreement with it or something just wasn't really like it should have been and maybe it's a little misleading?
I don't disagree with any part of the movie, but there is a total fabrication scene in the movie. The Russian submarine getting hung up on my air hose and lifeline, that's totally fabricated, and we intended for it to be like that.
Okay.
But the rest of the movie, it happened in my life like you see it.
As Brian said, 30 years, hard to put into a two-hour movie, two and a half, however long it is.